I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
The fastest goals. The expert's opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just getting the second halves underway across the Scottish Premiership. A reminder of the way it sits at the break. St Mirren 0, Hearts 1, Dundee 0, Motherwell 1, Hibs 0, St Johnstone 0, Livy 0, Aberdeen 0 and Kilmarnock 0, Ross County 0.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. From apprenticeships to pharmacy managers, start your career with them today.
Okay, let's focus on the positives. There's not a lot of goals, but that means that every game is in the balance. There's plenty to play for in the second half.
Yes.
Am I clutching at straws, or is that okay?
No, I mean, it's perfectly valid with regard to Dundee and Hibs, for example. Dundee, at the moment, are in the top six, and if the score at the moment between them and Motherwell, 1-0 Dundee, if that is the final score, it's a good day for them. It's a bad day for Hibs if they cannot overcome St Johnstone. It's goalless at Easter Road. And if Dick Montgomery does not make the top six, then I'm sorry, but his time at Easter Road will be marked as a failure for the time being. So you've got that issue going on. You've got St Johnstone down at the bottom end of the table.
Hold on a minute. Let me bring you news that you really need to hear about in the Premiership.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
St Johnstone have taken the lead at Easter Road. It's Sidibe. Lovely goal last week. He's played through this week, takes his time and makes it Hibs nil, St Johnstone 1.
Okay, so you revisit that whole question. Top six. Dundee are winning, Hibs are losing. It could be a terrible day for Nick Montgomery and a wonderful day for Tony Docherty and an even better day for Craig Levein, because Ross County at the moment are goalless against Kilmarnock. So it might be a very good day for Craig Levein and for Tony Docherty and a very bad day for Don Cowie at Ross County and also for Nick Montgomery.
Not a great day for Motherwell. That would move St Johnstone 2 points behind. Behind Motherwell. It looked tight, so I don't know if there's going to be a quick check to make sure he was definitely onside. But if he is, he's timed it perfectly and provides the finish as well. But they are waiting to see if it's on.
Yeah, these guys don't listen. I told them St Johnstone wouldn't be there. Ross County will finish 11th. That'd be a terrific start to the second half. Craig Levein obviously working a little bit of magic in the dressing room, if it goal stands. But I agree with Hugh. I don't think he would be sacked or anything, but I think he'd be disappointed, Nick Montgomery, if Hibs can't get the top six.
Craig just couldn't stand the Hibs, could he? You know, that Hearts background, and the day that he spoke about the natural order.
Goal given.
There you are. So it's turning into potentially a very good day for Craig Levein and a bad one for Nick Montgomery. He has lacked a big result. Not beating Celtic, not beating Rangers, not beating Hearts. Two attempts at beating the Hearts. So,
yeah. Still time to go, Hugh. Come on. Still time to go. Let's be positive.
I don't have time for that point of view.
I'm looking for more goals this afternoon. I've got to say, the boys have went out there, put a lot of coats, hats and gloves on. They deserve it. I'm rooting for them.
A couple of changes at the break. Elvis, we'll just call him Elvis, off for St Mirren. Conor McMenamin comes on. Motherwell have made a change with Adam Devine being replaced by Stephen O'Donnell. Stephen Kingsley's gone off for Toby Sibbick. As it stands, Hibs would be guaranteed bottom six. So 4 points behind Dundee as things stand.
Well, you know, you get Bill Foley's money, the Bournemouth owner, the putting money into Hibs, and you're looking for a brighter tomorrow. But so far, the Nick Montgomery reign has been colourless.
What he's got to do, and I can't believe he's not addressed this yet, he's got to go out and get defenders that can defend. Hibs will always give you goals. They'll give up goals. Whether it's home or away, they will give you chances and give up goals easily. And obviously St Johnstone's looked at that this afternoon, capitalised on it. If I was Nick Montgomery, I think middle to front, he's got some decent players, good pace, he's got options there. We all spoke highly of the fact that he changed that system. He went with three in the middle of the park to give them a little bit more strength in that department, which worked for him. But defenders are a must.
What summed him up perfectly was the free kick last week.
Yeah.
Ibrox.
Yeah.
That summed up Hibs' back line, where a free kick was fired off both players' heads.
Well, there's the third, I keep saying it. Oh, everybody third? Keeps missing it, right? Free kick gets taken, gets smashed off John Yule's face, he goes down. It rebounds and hits off Will Fish's face. He goes down. It goes back and hits Joe Newell as he's lying on the deck.
Does it?
And no one seemed to notice. I don't know if the clips all cut off before that. But anyway, let's do this before we get too deep into the second half.
The second half teaser.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
I have played alongside Gary Alexander and Stephen Naismith. I have been managed by Miksu Patalainen and Derek McInnes. I was signed from my first Scottish club as a free agent, and I have scored the winner in a Scottish League Cup semi-final. Who am I? Played alongside Gary Alexander and Stephen Naismith.
Who's Gary Alexander?
Let's stop that question. Who is Gary Alexander?
That's a good point. Is there a typo on Hugh Keevan's sheet? Does he mean Graham?
Or Gary.
Gary. Just guess who Gary Alexander is.
Scrap that for a second. We'll reword that question right. And we'll get it out there in just a second. There might be a Gary that we've just not heard of. But that just makes it a really tough question.
Yeah, but when I saw the answer to the question, I thought, oh, I've forgotten all about it.
We'll do it in 2 minutes. We'll change a couple of the.
When you were writing the question, what's your thoughts on Gary?
I just turned it to Michael and I said, Michael, who's Gary Alexander?
Anyway, we'll do it again in a second, not to worry. 4-0, Dumbarton won. Tony Wallace with the penalty. Peter Head have equalised against Bonnie Rigg Rose. Roger Hanna's second half at Livingston kicked off at 12 minutes past four.
Goodness.
It's going to be a long day, especially if that one ends
0-0.
0-0.
James Tavernier's brother.
Yeah, Marcus. I don't know yet whether that means it's a good weekend all round for the family. A mixed bag. You will find out tomorrow. But Luton 0, Bournemouth 1.
Well, can you imagine Celtic and Rangers supporters trying to get to sleep tonight? Poor souls. Distraught.
Just stay up for the game. It's nice and early.
It's dangerous.
Oh yeah,
I should have did that last week actually. Stayed up. I was up the early shift after.
Because we were out an event on Saturday night. And you flew to Ibiza at what time?
Well, I had to get up at 2:30 in the morning.
What?
But the clocks went forward. I did. I went to sleep for an hour. But it was one of those anxious sleeps that I kept checking my phone every 10 minutes.
So you slept for what, 15 minutes?
Probably. That was a long old day.
I just went home and finished my way.
Frank Sinatra in the corner.
That was a magnificent way to end the evening. Because I thought you were only going to sing the very first line.
Oh no, we kept going.
But you just kept going. It was great. We got the full rendition. The audience loved it.
An LP.
You had them eating at your hands like that pony in Ibiza. Wow.
There's a thought.
Right, have we got a different question here?
No, you've got the same question with the right people.
Okay. Right, let's do it. Take two.
I have played alongside Connor Salmon, once known as Gary Alexander, and Stephen Naismith. I have been managed by Miksu Patalainen and Derek McInnes. I was signed for my first Scottish club as a free agent, and I have scored the winner in a Scottish League Cup semi-final. Who am I? Played alongside Connor Salmon and Stephen Naismith. Been managed by Miksu Patalainen and Derek McInnes. Signed for my first Scottish club as a free agent, and I scored the winner in a Scottish League Cup semi-final. Who am I?
I think that is really tough. It's really tough, but you are so good at these. Someone will probably get it. We've got one of these to tell you about, and it's a big one.
Goal Flashes.
with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Hibs are back level, and it's thanks to Chris Cadden. Terrible time with injury. Good to see him back. He's been back a while now, and in amongst the goals, the speed of that response is a good sign for Hibs.
It's a great sign, especially, you know, Easter Road. The fans don't give you long before they start to get on your back. I've sat there and witnessed it many a time. So, yeah, and great to see Cadden back. You know, he's a good player, Cadden. Great team player as well. And he gets a goal. That could be an important goal for Hibs this afternoon.
Too many draws, though, for Hibs. That's
2-2. You fancy a 2-2?
A 2-2. I can smell a 2-2 coming. But that's been the problem, that they always, when they get themselves in front, always get pegged back. But they came from behind today. With the players, the attacking players they've got, you would always fancy them to get a second. But Daz is spot on. When they put it past them to concede against a St Johnstone side to, you know, lacking goals from time to time. So I think there's still more drama in that one.
Well, there need to be, because if Dundee win, a draw doesn't help Hibs in any way, because they're running out of time in games.
Well, Hibs are level, so we'll wait and see how that one finishes. There's an exciting finish set up thanks to that Chris Cadden goal. Elgin 2, Spartans 1. Remember, your teaser is up and running. I'm really interested to see if people get that, because there's not a lot to go on, and it's a very, very difficult one in my mind. But you're much better at these than me, so we'll wait and see.
No, 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 I think you're wrong.
No.
Let's see Mark Wilson.
Nah, he's wrong.
I mean, wrong is wrong, but that, I mean, that's wrong. Really wrong. Yeah.
I think that's the biggest wrong that's been wrong.
It ticks
today.
A few does boxes it? There. Yeah,
no, he doesn't.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
name one.
No, he will. He does.
Managed under him, played under him, played with him. Maybe there.
Maybe he was just
at the club. I was at
the Gordon DL Derby. It's Raith Rovers 1, Ayr United 1. Logan Chalmers with the goal. With Dundee United now going 2-2 at the exact same time. Louis Molt. Are we starting to see it really shift in Dundee United's favour?
Yeah, you know, if the scores stay as they are, then it's been a real bright day for Jim Goodwin, Louis Molt, Tony Watt, and it would have the look of a day that saw Dundee United turn the corner and become champions elect.
Yeah, that'd be a big one. When you've got guys like Louis Molt at the top end of the pitch, This is where they really kick into action at the tail end of the season, big games, and that'll be a big result if they get out of there 2-0 today. So well done, Jim Goodwin, because he was under some pressure.
I'm just looking at the. I know this doesn't matter, the English score there. Brentford have just scored, but I was reading today, or I was listening today. Football's went a complete different way. They've got a sleep coach now.
Oh, that sounds good to me.
A sleep coach. That's incredible, isn't it?
Brentford.
Imagine
a
Brentford
sleep coach.
Yeah.
That's what you needed last weekend to tell you not to bother for your 1 hour.
They've brought in a sleep coach.
Right.
So he basically, I don't know what he does.
Is it not hypnotist?
It's a she. It's a she for a start.
Is it a she? Sorry. Yeah. My apologies. But it's a sleep coach that obviously. See, I had to, when I played on a Friday night, I couldn't sleep. So I had to get a.
So you stayed up.
But you, quite nervous time before
again,
games.
Yeah, time again for Victoria's was number 3. But I've got to say, I found it very difficult to sleep on a Friday night before a
nerves.
Game. I always played the game in my mind for some reason, and I hated it. So I went to a sleep coach at that time.
Right. And what did they tell you?
You went to a sleep coach.
Yeah, yeah. So it just shows you I was ahead of the game.
There was such a thing in the 80s,
well,
was
it? Yeah, there were a guy.
Thought it
that
would be a modern phenomenon.
A guy that you went, sat, spoke to, and he put you through a process that you had to do when you went to bed.
Right. Give us more.
Anything that you can to relax yourself and send you off for a good night's sleep.
I feel I'm getting up a dark alleyway here.
Well, I'll tell you, doing sleep, those techniques to this day.
The sleep coach definitely works, because Brentford were losing 2-0 at Aston Villa, and now they've scored 2 goals in 2 minutes and they're 2-2.
There you go,
they've worked with us for about 8 years now. It's nothing.
Seriously?
New. Yeah, it's been a long going
relationship. I never ever heard. Have you ever heard of that?
Sleep coach now.
I think that's good.
All you need is a bit of lavender spray on the old pillow slip, and that'll put you Or a wee candle burning beside your bed.
No, I'd be frightened at, obviously.
No, you blow it out before you go to sleep.
Well, what's just the a point of that candle then? You know what I mean? You're still awake when you're blowing the candle out.
But the scent of it,
you go,
a lavender.
Things you thought you'd never hear on Super Scoreboard.
I can't get to sleep because I blow my candle out. So the relaxation's gone, innit?
Lavender sprays and candles.
The worst revelation for me earlier was before the show when he revealed, and I'm very surprised at this, that he irons his pants.
Yeah.
Gordon DL irons his boxers. I'm astonished at that.
No, you've got to.
That's madness.
It's just so unnecessary.
It's not
for a man like him.
And plus the fact, seeing the winter days, you get that wee initial heat.
Watch you iron them and then put them straight
on. Yeah.
Just set them on the radiator.
No, just put them over. Dunk. On.
But for
no
what occasion?
Way.
What There's occasion no do you need?
Every day.
Creaseless boxers.
Every day.
Listen, my mother and father always told me, look, clean pants and clean socks in case you get knocked
right,
down.
Clean, I understand. Right. You don't need to iron.
In case you get knocked down. You've got to. You know what I mean?
Nah, that seems a waste of time.
I don't think there's much. Right, I'll tell you what, you can tweet me. You can tell me.
I'll bet you that people out there listening will back me.
What kind of boxers?
Is Gordon DL correct to iron his boxers, or is that an unnecessary waste of time?
So that strikes me as you wear the baggy boxers. Because the tight fitting ones, of course, you wouldn't need to iron them. Aye, because they're almost like cycling shorts. So you wear the big baggy.
Checked numbers.
Aye, that's him.
Well, that's a good point. I'm not staring.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Horrible.
The pre-mark bag ones.
Would it work with long johns?
Yes, of course it would, Hugh. Just put them over the iron board. Bump. Right. You're away.
I understand how to iron them. That's not the bit that's losing me. It's just why. What a waste of time.
Yeah. It's not really, because you've obviously pulled them out. They're just out the water dry in the radiator. They got that crumply hard way.
Oh,
you've got to get a nice wee bit of heat in them. Make them nice, because you never know who you bump into.
No. I'm just not buying that. I'm really not buying that.
You iron your socks?
No, my socks. Well. No. Don't iron my socks.
Bed sheets?
No. I'm one that I just... I'm a wee bit like what you said. Sometimes I'll get the iron and just run over it if MD, a visitor or anything's coming into the house.
I've seen a particular theme developing here that I'm quite uncomfortable with. So we'll move on. Queen's Park 0, Dundee United 3. Ross Graham has scored again to add more. Well, not that he's scored again, but Dundee United have scored again to add more misery onto Queen's Park. That's a really comfortable one in the end. Hamilton Accies 2-0 up at Annan. Ben Williamson.
How ironic. Ben Williamson. Remember the Partick Thistle 0 Hamilton 10. Was
under
it 10?
The reserves game.
Reserves,
yes.
Yeah. Ben Williamson was playing for Partick Thistle on that day and was a man that gets sent off against Hamilton, and then a couple of weeks later Hamilton signed him. And he scored.
Motherwell have sent for Lennon Miller to try and come on and get them back into this game, because they are losing and not really looking like they could pull things back. So
why
we'll
was he not playing? Why was he not starting?
He's not started the last couple. Didn't start last game either. Halliday and Zradovsky in the middle of the pitch. So hopefully he comes on soon. I think he's going to. St Mirren are pushing now, trying to get that equaliser. Big expectant crowd in Paisley today. They'd fancy that.
Yeah, that would guarantee them top six, would it? It was always going to be hard for St Mirren, but they've had an excellent season so far. But Hearts and Livy are probably the only two positions in that table that's kind of nailed on. Livy will finish bottom, Hearts will finish third. So pretty easy to play in those circumstances. I feel for Hearts players, pretty relaxed about things.
Stephen Lauder says 100% no to ironing boxers. And David Gray makes a great point. Now we've got the image of the Dazzler ironing in the nude.
That's a good point. Aye, you don't want to burn that. Actually, keep that away from the ironing board.
Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line.
Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Goal, Kilmarnock, and it's Kyle Vassell. Killy 1, Ross County 0. Kilmarnock's impressive season continues. He's led the line for most of the campaign, the skipper, and he's opened the scoring today. So well done to him. Derek McInnes will be a happy man.
But Craig Levine will not, because the you know, it impacts on the Ross County. No, big pardon. Don Cowie will not, because it impacts on the, yes, the 11th place. And Craig Levine at the moment has his hand on 1 point from Easter Road. He'll need to fight very hard to have that point half an hour from now, though.
Yeah, just on the St Mirren point, David Friel reminding us that a Hibs draw or loss and St Mirren secure top six anyway.
Right.
So I'm sure they'd rather do it in their own terms and take the heat off a bit and not having to worry about other results. But that is the scenario. Hibs are on top now, pushing to try and find that second, go in front, turn this one around. They trailed 1-0, but Chris Cadden has pulled them level. So we've now got a goal in every game, apart from poor Roger Hannah Livy against Aberdeen.
It's not great for Aberdeen, is it? I mean, they really ought to be putting away the like of Livingston, who have won 3 games the whole season long, who are just going nowhere.
Well, speaking of St Mirren pushing,
Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
They're now 2-0 down because Hearts have scored again. So the Jambos, who were already very comfortable in third place, looks like it's going to be even more so. It was, by the looks of it, and is this wind assisted? We've spoken about it. Straight from the corner.
Oh,
Alex Cochran.
As we were saying about that earlier on, it's easier to score, yeah. You've called that one.
Yeah, Alex Cochran.
Definitely one assisted then.
2-0 to Hearts. Motherwell enjoying a bit more of a dominant spell, if you like. Jack Vale shoots over. It was a good move, but doesn't find the outcome that he was looking for. And then Dundee go up the other end and drag one wide from the edge of the box as well. So
the sleep coach is magnificent. Oh, Brentford are now 3-2 up against Villa.
Wow.
Having been 2 down at Villa Park.
They've woken up.
Yeah, turn around. That is incredible. But at least we're getting goals, we're getting excitement. So look, and Raith Rovers 2-1 against Derry United.
Yeah, Raith Rovers take the lead. Jack Hamilton's penalty. Marvin Bartley might make it on Wednesday. 1-1. Queen of the South have pulled one back, or pulled, yeah, pulled level 1-1 against Kelty Hearts. A Rhys Lyon own goal.
Who'd you like better out of Raith and Ayr?
Both had good night spots.
What had the better night spots then? Kirkcaldy or Ayr?
I've got to say, Jackie O's in my heyday was Raith, sensational.
Kirkcaldy.
Sensational. I could write a book about that. Ayr was okay. Club de Mar. Couple of visits.
Even the name of that sounds dreadful.
But I've got to say, I thought Raith, yeah, go Raith. Great times, because we were successful and with a good bunch.
Well, you
of
were
lads.
More of a celebrity there than you were at Ayr, probably. So you know that adds into the night out experience, I would imagine.
Yeah, it did help me along the way when I wasn't having my prettiest nights.
You would be unbearable back in those days.
I was the biggest headache guy you'll ever meet in your life. Uh-huh. Honestly, if you ever want to know about my career, just sit next to me.
we know.
I've got to say, I did enjoy myself. With some good characters.
Hold that result. He's not coming in.
Marv. Queen of the South 1, Kelty Hearts 2, Craig Johnston with the goal. But Mellon came on for Tiffany for Dundee. Incidentally, I don't think Lennon Miller ever did come on. He was getting ready, but hasn't been introduced yet. But Michael Mellon on for Scott Tiffany as Dundee look to try and add a second.
Dundee United add a fourth.
Yeah, Kai Fotheringham again, flying now. Dundee United, really impressive result. Because Queen's Park had been doing okay under Callum Davidson.
Yeah, it's a bit of a wake up call for Callum and young Dom Thomas, his captain.
So the goals are raining in down the leagues. Even the top flights picked up a little bit. Just not Livy, Aberdeen, Roger Hannah, the man for the 0-0 today. It's usually Fraser Wishart, or is he shaking that tag, would you say?
Nah, Fraser's shaking that. You've got to applaud Fraser. We all got our emails in.
No, we didn't.
He's raging. I come in the office today, and the first thing I thought, I'll get him here. Did you get your email? Woof.
Oh, was this for the PFA?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was over right at the getting his log on. He's got, I've not got mine.
He's obviously been blacklisted this year. It's understandable.
I think Fraser's
However,
right.
However, I understand you have got a bit of a dilemma, Gordon Deal. You're double booked. Our colleague Fraser Wishart is very kindly, as you say, he's sent out. It's the showpiece event of the Scottish football calendar. It's the PFA Player of the Year Awards. But you have got a clash of events because you're not going to Fraser's Do after all the hassle. You've got something else on.
Unfortunately, I'm going to Gary Barlow and take that.
Gary Barlow and take that.
Seriously,
oh, that's a good. That's a good one.
I feel so bad. Do you know? I've been giving Fraser a bit of criticism, hoping he'd go against me and just blank me. I thought that was easier way out, but he was a bigger man, right? And he got his secretary to send me out a lovely invitation.
If Fraser blanks me, can I go take that with you?
Got one of these to tell you about.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Dundee 2, Motherwell 0, and it looks like Luke McCowan's corner goes straight in.
Told you.
Having said that, I'm sure Liam Kelly will be a bit frustrated as well. It sort of goes over his head, but the wind's bound to have played a part. Either way, it is 2-0 to Dundee, and that looks like it will be that.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry to say for you and the other Gordon Motherwell fans, but I still want to hear Stuart Kettlewell after the match describing the extent to which the pitch played a part in that.
It's a tough one, that, for him though, when a goal directly from a corner to come out then and, you know, really have a go at the pitch. He'll have to address, yeah, you know, his goalkeeper or his defenders in the wind. So good result again for Dundee though. Both sets of players have to play in the surface.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the bit. I don't think Stuart Kettlewell can blame the result on the pitch when both teams had to play on it.
Yeah.
But there is a bit of wind. I think Liam Kelly will be looking at himself as well, and we will see in the fullness of time. But the important thing is Dundee are 2-0 up. They'll probably take all 3 points, and that is important for them.
The important thing for Queen's Park is that Arbroath have equalised at Inverness, which maintains a bit of breathing space between Cali Thistle and Queen's Park, because had Queen's lost, which they are doing, 4-0 down, and Inverness won, it might have been very, very tight there. But as things stand,
so just to go back to the more important story than the goals, could you not do a bit of both? Do a bit of the PFAs, a bit of take that. Fraser Wishart says, "What a shame," but it does save the members' money though, so he's not too bothered by the sounds of it.
Look, I'm very thankful for the invite. I know that obviously you always invite past winners, but unfortunately it just clashed. I couldn't believe it. I got the email in and I went, do you know what, I take everything back. I think about Fraser Wishart, right, I take everything back, I quite like him now. And then I looked at the date and my heart sunk. I really did.
Did you like that song I lined up for you? Yeah. Is that one of your favourite take that ones?
I Want You Back For Good is probably the one I'm just going to
probably
it's added once into the title.
How many times do you think I've sang that down?
Yeah. It does strike me as one that you probably have had to lean on a few more times over your career.
How many ways do you think you heard that?
So just imagine this, when insert player name here, I don't know who it'll be, goes up to collect his Player of the Year award, you'll have your phone in the air swaying from side to side with the light on. Unbelievable. Yeah. Anyway, you missed one of these in amongst that madness.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Game on in Paisley. Olusanya, it's a brilliant goal, a great run from his own half, a finish under pressure, and it's St Mirren 1, Hearts 2.
Well, that livens up the final 25 minutes there. It's all over for good for... No, they're not going back for good to Queen's Park. They're now 5 down to Dundee United. So what a day they're having.
Yeah, that goal gives St Mirren a glimmer of hope. But the day's ticking along okay for them if that result stays the same. Am I right in saying that at Easter Road? And they will guarantee themselves top six.
Hugh, this is a first. We've not got any,
wow,
any correct answers on the teaser. I had a suspicion it was really tricky today. So remind us of the question, or maybe have to give out an additional clue.
I have played alongside Connor Salmon and Stephen Naismith. I have been managed by Miksu Patalainen and Derek McInnes. I was signed for my first Scottish club as a free agent, and I've scored the winner in a Scottish League Cup semi-final. Who am I?
Kenny Mackay thinks it's his namesake, Billy Mackay.
No, it's not.
Ryan O'Neill says Michael Stewart.
Nope.
Gary Robertson says Dean Shields.
Nope.
Alistair Mick says Stevie May.
Nope.
And on we go. Sharon McFarlane, Gary Mackay, Stephen.
No.
Brian Turner, Kevin Kyle, 100%.
Wrong.
Stephen, Paul Heffernan.
No.
Chris, Craig Bryson.
No.
Really tough. It's proving really tough. What I would say, some of you are on the right track. If you're going Craig Bryson and Matty Kennedy and Paul Heffernan and Kevin Kyle and Dean Shields, you've identified there is an important Kilmarnock link there. This guy did play for more than one Scottish club, but the Kilmarnock link is the strongest for sure. You've just maybe forgotten the other Scottish club he played for, and that would feed in to where he was managed by one of the other managers.
Who's the manager, sorry, Hugh?
Derek McInnes and Miksu Patalainen. No Billy Gilmer for Brighton tonight. Shame.
He's injured, isn't he? Hopefully gets patched up very soon. Dan Casey's had an acrobatic volley over the bar for Motherwell, but they look a long way out of it now. 2-0 down at Dundee. Airdrie 3, Morton 1. Michael Garrity's got one for Morton, but I suspect Airdrie still be feeling pretty good about taking all 3 points in that one.
Yeah. So the places that we're looking at now in are obviously Hibs against St Johnston and St Mirren Hearts. Hibs, surely, that you spoke about the quick response after going a goal down, get the equaliser. I think the response is driven by the crowd that Dazzler was talking about. They're not going to settle for mediocrity, and not getting into the top six is mediocrity.
Right, David Dickinson's going to the monitor at Dens Park. Is he going to have a look at the pitch on the camera view and
call the game
call
off?
It off. But he's having a look at something over there. So, as we know, they tend to reverse their decision when they go to the monitor. Not always. Scotland actually tends to buck that a few times this season. It's for an alleged handball on Joe Shaughnessy, and but we've been through this many times. It looks like an outstretched arm, and it hits an outstretched arm in the penalty box. So if you are going to be consistent about it and say that's the way it has to be, then fine, that's a penalty. If you're Joe Shaughnessy, you're saying this shot has been hit at me from 3 centimetres away. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And I think the penalty has been given. Yeah, it has. And this is why it just needs to be clear. And then I think everyone would sort of agree or can make their peace with it. Because are you meant to bring proximity into account or not? Because I'll be honest, and you know my leanings here, if there's a proximity factor, you can't give that against Joe Shaughnessy. It is so close to his arm, like so close to his arm when the shot is hit. However, the arm is outstretched. So if that's the priority, fine. But let's make sure it's communicated. Let's make sure every ref does it. Let's make sure it's as consistent as can be. I always argue with this because every incident's different. So you're never going to get that, what people perceive to be complete consistency. But get it as close as you can.
The what am I supposed to do argument appears not to hold water.
You know, not anymore.
No.
Well, is there a way back into this game for Motherwell? It's their top scorer, Theo Bayer, that's going to take it. He got his Motherwell account up and running at
is
Dens
a good
Park, of course.
Taker?
He's okay. I mean, Blair Spittle's good as well.
Yeah.
The Bayer, and it's saved. That maybe sums Motherwell's day up. However, the rebound.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
The rebound is tucked away. I'm not entirely sure who by. There's protests going as well because is it going to be a case of encroachment? We saw that at Hibs game against Rangers last week. I think it was Georgie Gent that scores the rebound. But immediately the Dundee goalkeeper was racing out of his box, and it has been ruled out already. Yeah, oh. So it doesn't count. Motherwell still 2-0 down. And that is that.
I thought MD's wondering what that noise was. Is it was Hugh's wife saying that the fridge freezer's broken?
Oh, hold on a minute. No, I've not seen it, but I don't think that is going to be disallowed. The ref might have disallowed it. But when you see, we'll just need to wait and see on that one. Anyway, Dunfermline 1, Partick Thistle 1 is the... Yeah, the goal's been given. What a shambles. Anyway, goal given. So Motherwell have pulled one back. Dundee 2, Motherwell 1. It just shows you what you can do as an opposition player. Dundee were so convincing. They all ran out, you know, and then the goalkeeper picked up the ball and he put it down as if he was about to take a free kick. And but Georgie Gent wasn't inside the box. There was a Dundee player inside. I think they'll take a look at it. And what we've learned is it came to centimetres and millimetres even at Ibrox, didn't it? So anyway, right, Aston Villa. Oh, the sleep coach is...
Yeah, they're away back to bed. Dole.
Villa 3, Brentford 3.
They're tucked up.
Mark, your employer.
Yep.
Dunfermline 1, Partick Thistle 1 now. Chris Kane.
It wouldn't be a bad result, that, though. Dunfermline turned the corner.
Easter Road.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
St Johnston are back in front. Hibs had pulled level. They were pushing and pushing. Top six hopes hanging on it. But there's a corner to St Johnston that's been bundled in. It might be Gallagher that gets the final touch. I don't think Craig Levein will care because they're back in front at Easter Road.
Well, you know, good for Craig. As I said earlier on, he loves nothing better than a win over the Hibs. But what a shambles under Nick Montgomery.
We called earlier.
And I think we've got another one of these as well.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
What a turnaround from Motherwell. It is level. Dundee 2, Motherwell 2. Forget the pitch. What a game it is. Glad it went ahead. Theo Bayer, he had a penalty saved. Georgie Gent scored the rebound, and now Bayer makes up for it. He slots in. It's a cool finish. It's just a ball, a real long ball over the top. He shows great strength, great pace. The Dundee defence can't get near him, and he checks back inside, then twists again and slots it. Really good goal from Theo Bayer. And Motherwell are level. Good game.
Many's that he's got this season gone. He's got a few now, yeah.
Good game. Yeah, and
he's been terrific.
13 in the league.
Yeah.
And I don't think there was too many in other competitions. No, that's it. 13.
From a guy who came in for a lot of criticism at the beginning of the season, but he's certainly kicked on, I've got to say. But if you're Tony Dock and you're sitting there 2-0 up at home, top six cruising, and then within minutes you're now struggling to hold on to a point, probably.
Yeah, it's poor for him. But
those are the situations Motherwell need to get Theo Bayer in, Mark. You can get him one on one with a defender. He's just shrugging him off, the pace and the power. And he's actually got a little bit of composure then in that area. He checked one way and then the other.
Yeah, I've seen it from time to time this season. Some of the goals he scored have been fantastic. Good player, good signing. You know, didn't cut it his previous club, but fits what Motherwell need. He's rewarded them with...
That's where he got his first goal for Motherwell, wasn't it?
Yes,
right, yeah. Just before half time at Dens. So he obviously likes that pitch.
It makes it look even worse for Mick Montgomery. You know, you're at home, and Dundee have dropped points. Looks like it could be a 2-2 finish, and Mick Montgomery would bite your hand off for one of his famous 2-2s now.
Yeah, he's done that a few times. What's the final count at the moment? Motherwell have a golden chance to go 3-2 up, and it's Theo Bayer. All the praise that we gave him, maybe he will blame the pitch on this because it's laid back to him and he's scooped it over the... I think it's landed in Tannadice at the end. It's really, really high and over the bar, 6 yards out as well.
Turnaround that is from Motherwell. You know, down and out just moments ago, and looking the more likely to go on and win that one.
Bit of momentum now, eh? That's... you know, you get back into 2-2, you're fully confident. Dundee must be shell-shocked. But when Motherwell were 2-0 down there, they probably snapped your hand off.
Yeah,
for
not, it's not been a great performance. No, I don't think there's any doubt.
Listen, you take a point and move on.
4 for Nil, Dumbarton 2 is the latest scoreline there. Let's check in on that teaser. Did the clues that we gave get any additional shouts on it? Let me see. No, Mark's tweeted in. Oh, don't think so.
Has anybody got
still
that?
Nobody. No, I don't think we have any correct answers yet, do we? Oh, we do have one. There is one. So there's still place. There's still places available on the podium. Graham McDonald wants to go Paul Dalglish.
Nope.
Jamie McCarry says Bojan Miovski. No. Aidan says Georgios Samaras. No. There's a very, very slight there's a physical feature that this player shares with Georgios Samaras. How's that for you?
Long hair.
Not telling you.
It is. It's the only feature he can. Right, who's got long hair that played with Kilmarnock?
Yes.
Let's see, Mark.
Mark Rosen
right,
gets
don't
it.
Give it any more. Don't give it away. It's not Connor Salmon. We can agree on that, can we?
Yeah.
Did you? I don't think you guys were on. We had a really bizarre teaser a couple of weeks ago on the midweek show, full time teaser about ginger players who'd scored in the Scottish Premiership. And the person who sent the question in said Connor Salmon is one of the answers. He says he's always been bald, but I can just tell he's ginger. Very bizarre.
And is he?
I've no idea. I've never seen him in the shower. Have you?
No, but he must have hair before he was bald.
Well, I think any time I can remember him as a player, certainly. I don't remember any hair, do you?
You just think of the, is it the pizza he had given for Manny March? That's, every time I think of Connor Salmon, that just springs to mind.
Face tripping him.
Yeah.
Well,
no wonder not many have got that. It's a difficult one.
Yeah, it was hard.
Aye.
I couldn't even go.
Call my
chain.
Intellect to get me.
I had a struggle to get that, knowing the answer. Tell you that right now. I wouldn't have known how to do the clues for that one. But
yeah,
well done, Mark.
Thank you. Not an easy one, but I think we've given sufficient clues now. I think you're going to all swoop in and get it.
It was your last clue. Yeah. Did it for me, Gordon.
I think so.
Long hair.
I didn't say that.
You
said
it. Did.
No, I didn't. I didn't say that at all. It was you that said it, I'm afraid. Bit of a sore one at Dens, a clash of heads. Blair Spittle's down. Stuart Kettlewell, he's never shy about anything really, but I know he's got a real bugbear about late aerial challenges that end up with players getting head knocks. And I think this one might fall exactly into that category that annoys him. However, it was Michael Mellon that, oh no, it wasn't actually, I think it was Jordan McGee perhaps that committed it. I was going to say, because remember Michael Mellon was on the receiving end of it.
Very serious head knock.
A sore one, wasn't he?
Still nothing at Rogers' game.
No,
but Roger,
no action.
Just sent him,
just
up,
get
the
him
road.
Up the road.
Aye.
Yeah, may as well. He's getting nothing out there today.
Get him round the shopping centre across the road. Good discounts in there. That'll be up your street.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah. I've been there. Got a couple of good deals in the golf stuff. But you don't want to go to Livingston a cold day and sit and watch a 0-0. You really don't. That's not a good start.
I don't mind Livy's sense of humour, though. Did you see them tweeting today saying no problems with the Livy pitch? Come on.
No, did they?
Oh dear.
No problem because there's no pitch.
Ricky Little sent off for Arbroath.
They're having a horrible season. They just can't wait for it to be over. Rebuild in the summer, I think, for Jim McIntyre.
Anyway, this is a big one for Motherwell, that coming back in that fashion, because Captain America's flying in next week, isn't he? For talks.
Who's it, the guy from Netflix?
He's a former vice president or something of Netflix.
Oh, there's got to be a documentary in the making
there.
Motherwell's ninth famous
person.
Yeah. I don't think there is anything to suggest that that is imminent, by the way. I think people are probably putting that together and assuming it's going to be like Scotland's answer to Wrexham.
Oh, that'd be great, though.
I don't necessarily think that
we're missing that though in Scotland, aren't we? You know, I would have thought it would have been done by now.
BBC did one at Hearts, didn't they? But it was maybe just didn't go quite as far as some of the other ones we've seen.
You know, when you think of all the big clubs that have done it, was it Amazon that started doing Man City and all that?
Be great.
Sunderland till I die. You get a real insight of how your club's been run.
I still want Taylor. I want her to come in and rescue
Elizabeth Taylor.
Taylor Swift.
Oh, who's that?
Love her music.
Elizabeth Taylor. Taylor Swift.
The referee in Paisley's going to the screen for a St Mirren penalty.
Oh dear.
Chances are going to be the chance for the Saints to level this one up from the spot. It was Conor McMenamin who went down. We'll wait and see. As I did point out earlier, Scottish refs have been quite willing compared to what we're used to in VAR. They've been quite willing to stick with her original decision this season. I think, did I see one in England that happened the other night, and they said it was only the second time this season it had happened in the English Premier League. I think we've done it a few times this season. A few spring to mind. It was one last weekend actually. But Motherwell are putting on pressure, a series of corners, trying to use that wind, although it was up the other end that Dundee managed it and scored directly from a corner. Blair Spittle's doing his best attempt at it, but John McCracken holds on. Let's finish this, Hugh, whilst we've got time.
The second half teaser
with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I have played alongside Conor Salmon and Stephen Naismith, been managed by Miksu Patalainen and Derek McInnes. I was signed for my first Scottish club as a free agent, and I have scored the winner in a Scottish League Cup semi-final. I am Danny Invincibile.
Danny Invincible, well done if you got it right. That was a really tricky one. You got there in the end. Proper Frame Displays has got third place, Mark Robson in second, and Stephen Paradise 439. I think he's, is that like his seat number or something he's got? I don't know. But well done to Stephen, who's on there on Twitter, the winner of the second half teaser, the Who Am I? Very good. Very, very well done indeed.
Oh, Inverness have snatched a late winner.
Bad news for Queen's Park.
Yeah, Inverness 2 are both 1. Alex Samuel with the goal.
10 minutes to play there, apparently, at Inverness.
Will be more. That's more time than that. Rogers game as well.
Roger will be doing his thing tomorrow while we're doing the Rangers Celtic game.
6 added at Dens. I was going to say Motherwell looking the more likely because they've had a lot of momentum, obviously coming back from 2-0 down. Dundee did have a 40 up the pitch, but again Motherwell force another corner, so they're really going for it. I like this. Jason Coogans has sent me a picture saying that Rufus, who's his dog, is taking it easy after Shugster's culinary recommendation of beans out the tin. He sent us a picture of his dog. There you go. So that's the
a good name for a dog, isn't it?
Well, see, if I don't get my email from Fraser, then it'll be beans out the tin while you lot are sitting there with your bow ties on.
I'll take you with me, Gary. Don't worry.
I meant to say Fraser did reply when you had that grumble.
Yeah,
about having no email. He says that you don't need an invite.
That old one. You often say that when you forget about somebody.
Well done, Fraser.
I'll go in there, and the Lifetime Achievement Award will be waiting.
There's a goal scorer who's made a famous PFA appearance at the awards.
He gives it a good go at the awards, doesn't he?
Oh, he enjoys himself.
Don't remember that.
Oh, brilliant.
He's had a few memorable speeches on the stage winning the lower league awards.
What a great late escape goal for Clyde. Beats Stranraer 1-0, 90 plus 2 minutes. That puts Clyde and Stranraer on the same points at the bottom of League 2. Breakthrough moment for Colley.
Yeah, because it's getting tight down there to find out who will take part in the playoffs. Of course, the Lowland League winners and Highland League winners still have to face off. East Kilbride haven't wrapped up yet, have they? Because they keep getting games
postponed. Yeah, but it's just a matter of time.
I think they had the chance about 3 weeks ago. And then they're in cup final duty, I'm sure, this weekend.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, against Trenent, isn't it?
Trenent,
Is that Lowland League Cup final?
Speaking of the PFA dinner, is that Jim O'Brien who just scored for Notts County? Our Jim O'Brien?
I think so, yeah.
Who once played the guitar at the PFA Scotland?
Yeah, Notts County 3, Harrogate 0, yeah, Jim O'Brien, yep.
That he's hung in well.
Talented boy, Jim.
Motherwell really going for a proper goal mouth scramble. Then a danger was cleared. There's a throw in. Stephen O'Donnell's tried to launch it long. It's bouncing about everywhere. Will we advertise on Monday the fact that it was 2-0 to Dundee when Halliday came off?
Oh, was it? What was the turning point?
Goal flashes with M&D Green and Pharmacy.
Motherwell have done it, 2-0 down, and they've scored. It's Dundee 2, Motherwell 3. What an incredible afternoon at Dens. All the talk about the pitch, and it's turned into a 5-goal thriller. It's the new signing, it's his debut, Moses. No jokes about the Dundee defence parting. No. It's a great finish. He's volleyed it low, and it is a fantastic finish. Moses Ebai thumps it into the back of the net, and it's turned around completely. Dundee 2, Motherwell 3.
Well, do we have... I was going to say the result of the weekend, but I'm forgetting there's a rematch taking place tomorrow. But
it could still be the result of the weekend, don't you worry.
Remarkable, remarkable turnaround from Stuart Kettlewell's men. He runs the changes as well, and it's paid off. I know we joked about Andy coming off, but yeah, manager had to do something, and he's got three goals for his reward and 3 points, probably.
Moses has led his people.
Full time Easter Road. I want to hear the reaction here, Gabriel.
Full time, Gordon, and the whistle has been met with resounding boos here in Edinburgh. That's after Tony Gallagher's late winner and Craig Levein's side a huge 3 points in their bid for survival following Adam Sidibe's opening goal that was cancelled out by Chris Cadden's equaliser. It's a big dent in Hibs' top six hopes this afternoon. That was a first half of few chances and poor passes, just one save made by either goalkeeper. Hibs jeered by their own fans after losing the ball. The game had to get better in the second 45, and it did. And it was St Johnstone who took the lead. Slipped through by Matthew Smith in midfield. It was so simple up against Hibs' high line. Great timing of the run from Sidibe. He beat Rocky Bashiri easily and was through on goal. Took his time, tucked it past David Marshall. It was the Saints' first shot on target in the game. You can hear the jeers behind me, Gordon. That's as the Hibs players try and applaud the supporters who have been here to witness what went on today. Well, they weren't cheering when Chris Cadden got that much-needed equaliser just 7 minutes later after great work from Maiziana Mayalida. Stood his defender up, cut the ball onto his left foot, smashed it at the goal, and Dimitar Mitov could only push it back into the danger zone. Chris Cadden couldn't miss, tucked it away assuredly, and it lifted the mood after a disappointing afternoon. Up until that point, it looked like it was going to turn in Hibs' favour. Nate Montgomery's side really starting to push, clearly on top for the last 20 minutes, 30 minutes or so. Mitov made a good save from Adam Lafondre. Then Mayalida had a hat-trick of close attempts. He had a volleyed effort saved, a shot deflected wide, and forced a top stop from Mitov after a great ball in from Cadden. But then came the sucker punch. It was a corner against the run of play, swung in by Graham Carey, swirling in the air. Tony Gallagher simply won his tussle against the Hibs defender, got his boot on the ball, and it found its way into the corner. Summed up Hibs' season, Gordon. They can create chances, they can score a goal, but they are so weak at the back and ultimately not good enough. Now, their top six hopes are still alive somehow, but that is purely down to Motherwell, whose three-goal comeback at Dundee means Hibs are just 1 point behind sixth place with one to play. But that's Nick Montgomery walking off there, Gordon, applauding the fans, getting booed. You can sense the atmosphere here starting to turn towards the manager, but it's the opposite for St Johnstone. What an afternoon for them. Is this the day their season turns around? A huge win. They're 4 points clear of 11th place Ross County now. And for Craig Levein, all the sweeter to do it against Hibs here at Easter Road. Full-time, Hibernian 1, St Johnstone 2.
There's a late one of these.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
And it's Aberdeen, they've snatched it. Roger Hanna had to wait 89 minutes, but who else? Bojan Miovski, a scissor kick. Loose ball fell to him. He made no mistake, and there we are. Aberdeen 1, Livingston 0. There is a VAR check, though, there, as you would expect. Full-time at Kilmarnock for now, Fraser.
Yeah, Kilmarnock 1, Ross County 0. You can still hear the Kilmarnock fans applauding around me. It's been 2 minutes since the game finished. The players are on the pitch, and I think everyone around here just gets a feeling this is a big day in the race for that fourth place for Kilmarnock, with St Mirren losing. And it was a deserved win. Skipper Kyle Wassell was the man that puts them five ahead of St Mirren in that race for fourth place, and Dighty Kelly fans are just giving their team an ovation at the end of what was actually a fairly tame 90 minutes. Conditions didn't help. The quality of play in the first half, things were good when Kennedy side foot volley hit the post in 54 seconds. County responded well, a couple of opportunities, but after that the wind began to affect the game, and we hoped for better in the second half. Immediately there was, Kelly pushed County back at the start. Armstrong with a fierce shot heading for the top corner, got a slight touch off Baldwin's head and just took over. Then from the corner, Vassell header was clutched on his line by Wickens. County's response was good though. Simon Murray cutting from the left hand side, curled a shot towards the top left hand corner. Good save by Dennis to push the ball away for a corner. Armstrong then put Vassell through and behind. His shot was blocked by Leek. Watkins and Kennedy with really sharp efforts with the rebounds. They were also blocked as Kelly tried to force the opener. It was no surprise when they did take the lead in 63 minutes. It was a simple goal. Loose ball fell to skipper Kyle Vassell on the edge of the box, 18 yards out. He struck his low left shot really well and then through a forest of players, and you just have to think that Wickens must have been unsighted because the ball went through him as well and into the back of the net. We expected a reaction from County. Danda and Sims were thrown off, but it was actually Kelly who looked more likely to score. A second low Donnelly shot with 10 minutes to go was well saved by Wickens to his left, and despite substitution like Danda and Sims coming on, County had very few fleeting moments in front of the Kelly goal. And Kelly, a good day for them, although they weren't at their absolute best. They were too good for County, for whom results elsewhere have gone against them. All those around them have won, and they've got a lot today to stay out of the playoff places. Full time at Rugby Park, Kilmarnock 1, Ross County 0.
That Aberdeen goal did not stand after the VAR check offside the decision, so it remains Livingston 0, Aberdeen 0. It has finished at Dens Park. Motherwell were 2-0 down deep in the second half and they won it 3-2. We'll give you Dave Galloway's full time report very soon. Still playing in Paisley, so we'll go there in just a second. What a result that is for Motherwell, Hugh.
Yeah, fantastic. The day beginning with controversy with the club, Motherwell stating on social media that they feared for the safety of the players, all the talk of this awful pitch at Dens and what might happen. But it's actually turned into the archetypal 5-goal thriller. 2 goals of a start for Dundee, win for Motherwell, outstanding performance from Motherwell to come back in that fashion. So it's a story that kept on giving all day.
Full time Paisley, David Friel.
Full time, St Mirren 1, Hearts 2. A bittersweet day for St Mirren. There's no great celebrations. They lost the game, but they did clinch a top 6 place. That was aim at the start of the season. A great achievement for them, even though they lost today. George Grant's penalty and a Mikael Mandron own goal gave Hearts the 3 points, but Hibs defeat St Johnson ensured St Mirren got that back-to-back top 6 finish for the first time in 39 years. First half totally ruined by the wind, but Hearts did take the lead in 33 minutes from the penalty spot. Came after Marcus Fraser was adjudged to have blocked Kenneth Vargas's effort with his hand. Alan Muir didn't give it initially, but was told to have a look at the VAR screen and changed his mind. There was no Lauren Shanklin for Hearts today, but George Grant has been on the penalties anyway, scored with a composed finish. Simon started the second half really well, but Hearts then scored a second in 62 minutes. Alec Cochrane's corner caused absolute chaos in the box, and it appears Mikael Mandron got the final touch to put it over the line. To be fair to St Mirren, they kept going. Toyosi Olasanya made it 2-1 in 66 minutes. He was in his own half when he picked up the ball, but raced clear and produced a really, really smart finish past Sander Clark. St Mirren thought they'd a penalty after Conor McMenamin went down after a Cochrane challenge. Muir went to the screen, but this time he did stick with his decision. St Mirren pushed and pushed. They just couldn't find that final goal. In the end, St Mirren happy enough. They make top 6. Hearts absolutely delighted. The Hearts fans are also shouting Hibs are falling apart again. Full time, St Mirren 1, Hearts 2.
What a day it's been so far, and still plenty more to come. I'll give you the full time picture from Dens Park as soon as we possibly can. Roger Hanna's hanging on in there. A much delayed game there at Livingston. Bittersweet sums it up from David Friel. Hugh, St Mirren didn't get the result on the day, but another top 6 place secured.
Well, I think they can take out the bitterness because it is sweet for them. They can look back on a season not yet finished, but a season which has contained the great levels of accomplishment from them. They're not supposed to be an automatic top 6 choice. They have to work for it, and they have done. And they have made it without having to bother about the game against Celtic next weekend. They can approach that one and truly enjoy it. It remains to be seen whether Celtic can go into it in the same frame of mind. So I think for Stephen Robinson, they did not get the equaliser they were hoping for. However, the accomplishment was in getting into the top 6, and they have achieved it.
Yeah, huge congratulations. What a job he's done there. Because for a club like St Mirren to get back-to-back top 6 finishes, that means a huge amount in terms of money coming in the fixtures that they've got remaining post-split.
Game of the day, Dens Park. After all the talk of the pitch, here's Dave Galloway.
Wow, what a finish to a remarkable afternoon. Dundee 2, Motherwell 3. All eyes, of course, were on the notorious Dent Park pitch. Motherwell's player Spittle miscontrolled in both boxes due to the poor surface. Firstly, when trying a shot, and then when attempting to clear a corner from the hosts. On both occasions, he was deceived, seemingly, by the bounce of the ball. Theo Bear had a shot blocked following a corner. Jack Vale headed Georgie Gent's cross wide for the visitors. Neither keeper with too much to do at this stage, but after a Dundee free kick, Antonio Portales hit the side net from a very tight angle. Lyle Cameron had an effort charged down from a corner. The Dark Blues went ahead after 37 minutes. Jordan McGee nodding in from close range after Amadou Bakayoko squared the ball to him. Motherwell passed up a good chance to equalise when Theo Bear laid off for Jack Vale, but he had his head in his hands after shooting wide. They started brightly following the interval. Theo Bear went through one on one and shot just wide, but the flag was up. Andy Halliday headed high and wide. Player Spittle drove over from the edge of the box. Then Jack Vale shot over after a good move as the Steelmen took a firm grip of the game. However, Dundee made it 2-0 on 70 minutes. Luke McCowan whipped in a corner, which went straight in. Motherwell reduced the deficit after 79 minutes. Theo Bear's penalty kick after Joe Shocknessy's handball was initially saved, but Georgie Gent netted the rebound. And 2 minutes later, they were level. A long ball, Theo Bear was onto it, and he got the better of Alan Donnelly before very coolly slotting home. It was all Motherwell, and after 93 minutes, they sensationally went 3-2 up. Jack Vale's cross gleefully thumped in by Moses Ebiye. Big celebrations in the away end off to my left. You can maybe hear them in the background. What a comeback by the Steelmen. Sensational stuff. It ended Dundee 2, Motherwell 3.
What a game. It's eventually finished in Livingston, Roger Hannah.
Thank goodness it's finished, Gordon. Livingston 0, Aberdeen 0. Not a great advert for either side. Livingston toiling adrift at the bottom of the Premiership, and Aberdeen still in search of a new manager and drifting aimlessly in the bottom six as we approach the split. The real talking point, 89 minutes. Aberdeen finally hit the ball on the net. Good work on the left-hand side for the substitute, Esther Sokler. Shamal George made a good save. The ball fell to Bojan Mijovski inside the 6-yard box. It was a spectacular scissors kick finish from close range. He went away to celebrate in front of a decent Aberdeen crowd on the far side. There was then a very lengthy VAR check with the VAR official Matthew McDermott looking at it. He eventually told referee Graham Granger that it had been an offside. It's unclear still whether it was Mijovski himself on offside when he finished or whether it was an offside in the build-up, but the goal did not count. And it was drop points for Aberdeen here. They could have been behind after just 4 minutes. Stephen Bradley heading wide from Sean Kelly's cross. He had a decent chance in 20 minutes. Mijovski running on to a lovely through pass by Leighton Clarkson, but off his line came George to make a decent save. The first half interrupted by three horrible head knocks. Jimmy Brandon needing stitches, then Teddy Yenge caught by a high boot by Richard Jensen, and then a clash of heads between Michael Nottingham and Jamie McGrath. Livingston finished the half brightly. Sean Kelly knocking a ball into the box. It eventually fell for Stephen Kelly. His shot well saved by Keller Roos. And then moments later, Kelly again having a shot blocked. Aberdeen started the second half brightly. Jimmy McGrath's free kick pushed round the post by George. And then McGrath in this swirling wind to Tony Macaroni. A ball in from the right. It went all the way past goalkeeper George. It hit the far post and then rebounded to safety. After that, very few chances, really poor quality, lots of substitution. Duke, Dante Pulvara and Sokler all sent on, and Sokler thought he had created the winner after 89 minutes, as I say. No goal, disappointing finish for Aberdeen, disappointing afternoon for everyone. Livy nil, Dons nil.
And there we have it. What a day of Scottish football action. It had it all. 01419511025. How do you look back on today? Motherwell fans, what a turnaround that was. St Mirren fans, top six for you. Hibs fans, where's it going wrong? Kilmarnock, you're coasting at the moment. It's looking very good indeed. How do you feel? And then tomorrow, your final chance. This is it. This is the fixture that on this show requires weeks and weeks of build up. And this is your last chance, the final opportunity to have your say for tomorrow. Score predictions, team lineup thoughts, hopes, dreams, fears, worries, controversies, whatever you want, this is the place. 01419511025.
Action and
as it happens. And your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's been quite a day of Scottish Premiership action, and tomorrow should deliver more of the same. So strap yourselves in for a busy weekend, and you can have your say on the phone right now. 01419511025. The games today, big results for Motherwell and Kilmarnock and St Johnston. St Mirren didn't get the result, but they got the outcome. They've reached the top six. So Saints fans, how good does that feel? And then on to tomorrow, one sleep to go. How are you feeling, Hugh Keevans?
Well, today is about congratulating four managers, I think. Dennett McInnes looks to have nailed on that fourth place, and Stephen Robinson lost at home to Hearts, but they have secured their place in the top six. For Motherwell, the comeback of the day, 2-2, 3-2 winners on an awful pitch. Well done, Stuart Kettlewell and the Motherwell players. And Craig Levine puts 4 points between his club and Ross County down at the bottom. So very good day for Craig Levine at his old happy hunting ground of Easter Road. Now it's about tomorrow.
Yeah, it was a good day of football. It started slow but then built into a day of drama, none more so than at Dens Park, where it was drama at the beginning. But it finished pretty nicely for Motherwell, an important 3 points, and Craig Levine getting a win at Easter Road. Fantastic result there. But Hugh's right, now all focus goes on to tomorrow. The players will be prepared, they'll be in their hotel, tucked away, minds firmly focused on 12 p.m.
Maybe the nerves got to one or two teams today. You're looking at 5th, 6th and 7th all losing, oh, all at home as well. But well done to the Motherwell and the other teams, the Hearts, and obviously Derek McInnes doing a terrific job at Kilmarnock. Valuable for 3 points for St Johnstone, got to say. Puts a little bit of gap between them and Ross County. But our focus must now turn 12 o'clock at Ibrox tomorrow.
Don't take this lightly. This is your last chance. Think of all the pre-match talking that is done before a game like this. This is the final opportunity to phone in and give us all your thoughts, your predictions, how you think it's going to go, what the game means, who needs what team would settle for what, who should play, will Callum McGregor be risked, will Abdallah Sima be risked. All of the thoughts please right now on 01419511025. It was a big day today from various perspectives. Kilmarnock, one of them. Simon has called. How are you, Simon?
Hi, how are you doing, guys? Hope you're all right.
Not bad. What did you make of today, then?
Well, first of all, the game of football was one of the worst I've ever seen because of the weather. It was just, every time the ball was coming up, it was being hit, went sideways, forwards, everywhere except going towards the goal. So all that mattered was getting the result, getting the 3 points, and with other results going away, thanks to Motherwell, thanks to Hearts, and obviously St Johnstone. You know, that's fully cemented us in fourth place. And yeah, it looks like the push for Europe continues.
Yeah, I love this time of the season, Hugh, that the split has got its flaws for sure. But it does mean meaningful games. And the time of season where like other results are celebrated as much as your own, basically. Because Simon, look, Kilmarnock did their own part. But the extra buzz comes from the fact that Dundee lost and St Mirren lost as well.
Today is about one day, and Simon's isolated that by saying terrible match. But Killie got their 3 points through one of the signings of the season, Vassell. But fourth place is built on the other 30 odd games that Kilmarnock played. And so, as I said at the start of the programme, the job of manager is a difficult one when you're at a club like Kilmarnock. Derek McInnes and his backroom team have carried it off very, very well, and have built a supporter base, and things are on the up and up, without doubt.
Yeah, a 5 point gap over St Mirren, Mark, with five to go. It's a pretty good cushion. Yeah. It's like St Mirren will still think they can do it for sure. But it's a nice position for Kilmarnock.
Oh, without doubt. And you know, the transformation in them in the last 3 or 4 years has been remarkable. Dennett McInnes at the head of everything good there. And we continually chat about his signings, how he builds a team. You can just tell the look of Dennett McInnes' side. You know, he's got creative players on each wing. He's got front men who'll grab you a goal and who's quite powerful up top as well. And he's got a solid foundation at the back. And They've had a great season and they're not done yet. I mean, Kilmarnock will have a big say in where the title race may go, because they compete against Celtic, Rangers and anybody else they come up against. So a top season, but they've just left themselves too much to do, I believe, to get that third place. I think Hearts have got that firmly, but Derek will be delighted.
I think if you say to Kilmarnock, Derek McInnes and Kilmarnock supporters and everybody involved, that fourth place you could get this season, I think they would have been very pleased with that.
Well, they just stayed up towards the end of last season.
Exactly, the progress has been incredible. I see, obviously, Kilmarnock are a certainty for fourth because of the size of the squad and the squad of the quality that Derek's got at his disposal at Rugby Park. He's got them well organised. I think was Fraser was talking about how good the defence was, but they've got players in forward positions and coming off the bench that can turn games. So a terrific season for Kilmarnock so far.
Passport out then, Simon?
Yeah, absolutely. I need to renew mine first, actually, expires soon, but I need to get that done for Germany as well. But so I think with obviously next week St Mirren are playing away to Celtic, we've got St Johnston, which is what you'd class a winnable game, so that could, you know, stretch it even further. But just quite like I was listening to your show obviously this week and hearing a lot of talk, and especially today, about the situation in Dundee, got an easy solution. Just every day goes with plastic pitches because the games don't get called off.
Why are Kilmarnock getting rid of theirs then?
Because we're building a training ground, but I was only joking.
I don't mind it if the plastic pitches take all the criticism. They can have their day looking at Dens today. I don't mind that. Thanks to Simon on the line. What about Serge? Who's on? Have you got tomorrow on your mind, Serge? Can you get it off your mind?
No, definitely on my mind. Clifton Rangers fan, don't see why if we don't turn up tomorrow we can't or shouldn't win. A couple of wee concerns is, I don't know, even with half a Carter Vickers, if Dessers plays up front, I hope he proves me wrong. Obviously, we've got a propensity to concede silly goals against Celtic, especially down the left-hand side. And Celtic seem to be the only team that's got your number this season. But again, if we turn up, we go with a good mentality and we go for the jugular. I don't care who Celtic play. I strongly believe that they expect us to win if we play well tomorrow and turn up.
Well, there's no reason why you wouldn't turn up. I mean, Philippe Clement, while he may say it's not a title decider, he is only too well aware of the importance of the game. He has the ground to himself. There are no Celtic supporters. If Rangers win, I believe they then go on and win the title. So the importance of the occasion cannot be underestimated. And there's just no question of players not turning up. They will be driven from the word go.
Serge is admitting, though, Mark, the team that has had Rangers' number this season has been Celtic. To which Rangers fans can obviously respond that, well, for the first one, it wasn't Philippe Clement. And then, yes, he lost his first meeting, but maybe they're better now, they're further along the road. But that's a fairly obvious starting point if you were to look at where Celtic might take heart from and where Rangers might take concerns from, would be the two previous games.
Yeah, for Rangers, there was definitely a marked improvement in the game at Celtic Park, although Celtic still won it. I think we can all agree that Rangers looked dangerous, particularly at the tail end of the game. So And I do believe that they're now better than they were then. So of course Rangers fans should be optimistic. And similarly for Celtic, you know, the players who've been there over the course and distance over these past couple of years and been to Ibrox and won, I think that counts for something as well. When you go to a place, it's familiar, you've got good memories there, and it's about, you know, repeating that again. So both teams should be confident. And when you've got neither a fully fit squad as they both have now, then of course you'll be confident. That's why I think we'll be in for a cracker. You know, players back, Kitate, Sima, all these guys back, that's what we want to see tomorrow.
And you know, there'll be key battles all over the place, Gordon. But Serge has picked out Cyril Dessers against Carter Vickers. Carter Vickers, I think Serge said, you know, is he half fit or whatever? He's got to be further along the road than that. I mean, maybe rust, maybe he's, you know, because he's been out. But he played before the break, remember, against St Johnston. I think he came off that day, 75 minutes, played against Livingston, full game last weekend?
Yeah, I think the full game against Livingston will certainly have helped him on his way to recovery. Like, the game will take care of itself. Carter Vickers is a very experienced player, terrific centre-half. We all know the difference he makes when he goes into that position with Scales. That's the best partnership just now. Dessers, on the other hand, I've really grown to like him. I really think there's something there with him. But as a Rangers player, and especially if you're playing in that forward position, and Morelos had it for a bit of a period of time, you've got to get your goal against Celtic. You've got to get your big goal, and he'll be looking to do that tomorrow.
Any team lineup thoughts, Serge? Like, you know, if Yilmaz is struggling, who goes in there? Does Sima play, or does he come off the bench?
I would go with Seymour if Seymour's fit enough to give us an hour, rather than try to come on for the bench and change the game. I would actually go with Sterling if he's fit instead of Barisic, to give us a wee bit more, maybe a wee bit more power down that left hand side to compete a wee bit more. If we do win tomorrow, I wouldn't say it's over and done with. I'd say we've got one hand on the trophy, it'll be ours to lose. But I'm quite confident with the fact that a lot of Celtic fans seem to be really confident, and that will suit Rangers down to a T. But again, I would play, hopefully Yilmaz is fit in the left hand side, because he's now shown us why we paid £5 million for him.
Has there ever been a debate that sums up Dujon Sterling more than the one about whether he'll play left back or right wing in an Old Firm game? Yeah. I know you played a couple of positions, Mark, but
it's quite a jump, that.
Like, genuinely, that's
his natural positions right back.
I know. That seems to be the consideration. Lots of people saying that they would play him at left back, but then others looking at that right side as well.
Serge just touched on it there. Power gives him a wee bit more power, so whichever position he plays in, you could just see, you know, that strength, that powerful running technique he's got. It's been an amazing season for him, Sterling, because he just wasn't anywhere near the first team picture in the early part of the season, and he's managed to become such an important player. So that will be an interesting one. I'd probably play him off the right, further up, and Yilmaz at left back if he's fit.
Yeah, I think that's what he'll do, no doubt. The big question mark for me tomorrow is Sima, right? And Serge is saying he would play Sima. I'm sort of on his side there, and I know the arguments about he's been out for such a long time, he got 10-15 minutes last weekend, but before he was out, he was such a big player for Rangers, and this is a massive game. I think you could get an hour out of him, no problem at all. 60-65 minutes.
Good impact sub low, isn't he?
Because
you know your wingers are going to get changed at some point, and you're going to bring someone on.
I just think for a start,
leave Silva out.
No, you could actually, if you've got to play Sterling at left back, you could play Silva off one flank and Sima off the other with Dessers, you know, and then you've got in the middle of part. Does he play Cantwell or Lawrence? I think the Rangers team's quite hard to pick. Yep. Celtic are very easy if McGregor's fit or not fit.
What do you think, Rangers fans? Are you agreeing or disagreeing? And what about Celtic side of it then? Are there any team lineup headaches for you? How do you feel about the fixture tomorrow? Give us a call.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Diel are here, looking back on today's games and of course previewing tomorrow. So keep your calls coming. I can see a few people wanting their say on events at Ibrox that are about to take place, so keep them coming in. Let's hear from Stuart Kettlewell. So much said about the Dens Park pitch. Motherwell were 2-0 down deep into the second half and 1-3-2.
Probably the first half, in my opinion, was a little bit of a non-event. I didn't think there was any quality in it at all. I didn't think we played well in the first half, but you could see that we're trying to find our feet on the surface. We're trying to find a route in the game, and the goal that we concede's really disappointing. You know, second phase, it comes across for the right-hand side, and we just only have eyes for the ball, and it's something we speak about so often. So from that point of view, going half-time 1-0 down, probably felt it should have been levelled. I don't think anybody had any clear-cut chances as such. And in the second half, it looks as if it's a hell of a long way back for us in terms of trying to get points on the board, being 2-0 down. Liam Kelly sticks his hands up. He's the first one to do so when he comes into the dressing room. We shouldn't concede direct from a corner. It's plain and simple. We have to be better in those moments. But what a reaction from the team. I thought we were by far and away the better team in the second half. We created a lot of chances. I thought we could have scored a lot more goals. Probably forced Dundee to change their shape a little bit because what we were doing was working. And just a really nice moment for Moses Ebe. It's been a kind of long journey to get him into the team or get him on the pitch. So for him to come up with that finish to win the game for us and see the jubilation with the Motherwell supporters was a real standout moment.
And he didn't mention the pitch once.
Well, I think he would have at other points.
But he can, no wonder he's left it until later then, because he can take immense satisfaction. 2-2, wins 3-2. And that's just an outstanding result.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. When Dundee go 2-0 up, they've got that top six place looking cemented. But great fight back from Motherwell. And great character for Theo Beer. Misses a penalty and then a couple of minutes later sticks a ball in the back of the net. And it was all momentum for Motherwell then. Went on to win it. And there'll be a happy Motherwell manager, supporters and players come down the road tonight.
And technically Mark can still reach top six, yep, incredibly. If they were to beat Hibs and Dundee were to lose to Rangers and Aberdeen, Motherwell would sneak into the top six.
Very much possible that. What an end to the season that would be, because it looked unlikely. And even today it looked unlikely. They're probably looking over their shoulders at one point today when you think,
yeah,
of the
St. Johnson in front. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So a remarkable day, and well done to Moses. Do you see that was his debut?
Yes.
Scores the winner. What a way to introduce yourself to the Motherwell fans.
Yeah, any Motherwell fans out there, how pleasing was that today? The artist formerly known as Lorien Dennison is on the phone, but he's now Lorien Carntyne apparently. How are you, Laurie?
I'm doing smashing, Gordon. I've had to drop that moniker. I've had it for about 25-30 years now, you know. So
have you moved? Or did you just decide to rebrand?
Aye, absolutely. So, I don't suppose, there'll be any wailing and gnashing of teeth anywhere. I don't take myself too seriously. Nor do I think there'll be unrestrained celebrations of joy. But there you go.
Listen, it's good to have you on anyway. What are you thinking tomorrow?
I'm thinking tomorrow, firstly, I'd like to preface any comments I'm about to make about tomorrow's game by saying that it seems to me that the world in its ante, every man and his dog, many, if not most, journalists and pundits, including Hugh, are writing Celtic off tomorrow. I think the last time, I don't do terribly well when it comes to betting or forecasting myself, but Hugh, in particular, I think the last time Shug tipped a winner was in a previous incarnation when David upset the odds and beat Goliath, you know. So we'll see how it goes tomorrow. I think Celtic will get a draw. I think that Brendan Rodgers will have his team fired up. I just think that after the final whistle tomorrow, if we do get a draw, and I'm not writing off the possibility that we might win the game. I mean, Brendan Rodgers has got an unsurpassed record in that fixture. 15 times he's played Rangers. I don't doubt Rangers are much improved, of course. Only a fool would say otherwise, since Philip Clement has replaced Beal. But if you look at Brendan Rodgers' record in both 10 years at Parkhead, 15 games Celtic's played Rangers, 1-12, drawn 2, lost 1. I think in terms of a percentile, that must even exceed the record of the late great Jock Stein or any Celtic and Rangers managers over the years, Bill Struth, Walter Smith, etc. An absolutely fantastic one ratio.
Let's put that to Hugh. Did you tip Goliath to beat David or?
No, I had it for a draw. But I'm sure a man of Laurie's background in the trade union movement will be the first to admire freedom of expression and will be happy for me to voice my opinion free of hindrance. Most pundits have gone for a draw.
So did Laurie.
Yeah. And if Laurie cares to consult the two main red top newspapers in the country, then you'll find that most pundits have gone for a draw. I just happen to be a man, Laurie, of free spirit, free expression, and I think that I'm going for Rangers because, as I said earlier, Celtic have a risk and reward strategy going on. They're going to use players who are not fit, and they're going to use
How
them.
How do you know they're not fit, though? That would be my question. I'm not saying you're wrong, but if you make this statement, I think the burden of proof falls on you,
well,
so to speak.
Absolutely no one is denying that they're not match fit. And everyone has given me the same argument about adrenaline will see you through. However, the other side, and the other side of my argument, is that in 2024, Rangers under Philippe Clement have won 30 out of 33 points. They have momentum. They have incentive. They have consistency. They are at home. They have no Celtic supporters in their ground. Everything for me points towards a Rangers win.
I mean, Mark, you went for a draw. I think most in the show earlier, I don't think we had any Celtic win predictions. We had a few draws in there, or Rangers to edge it. Are Celtic being unfairly written off, as Laurie alleges?
No, I don't think they're being unfairly written off. I think it, just the realisation, like Laurie touched on, that Rangers are much improved under Clement. So of course it's going to be a tougher fixture for Celtic to negotiate tomorrow than the first time they went to Ibrox. Then you look at Celtic, how they've been playing. Patchy, you know, not really put a stretch of games together that they've been firing on all cylinders. So that has to come into play as well. But the draw, I think, like Laurie, I think it's a good result for Celtic. I think if you go to Ibrox and get out there with a point, it leaves you a clear sight to the title. And that one remaining game at Celtic Park against Rangers is very winnable.
I agree with Mark. I've went for the draw just now, but I have held my opinion back to see the teams, because I might change that. I think that'll be so important tomorrow. I agree with Mark in the sense that as much as Celtic are well capable of going to Ibrox and winning, and Laurie describes Brendan Rodgers' record against Rangers, they know how to win. There's no doubt of that. I think Celtic would be quite happy to walk out with a draw. I think it would put them in the brackets of favourites, especially with the game, last game at Celtic Park. But if they lose tomorrow and Rangers beat Dundee, I'm with you. I don't think there's any way back.
When you say wait to see the teams, are you pinning some of that on Callum McGregor? So, yeah. You know, if he doesn't make it from the start, does that sway you towards Rangers? Or
I'm probably more interested in how Rangers line up, Gordon. You know, who's got to play in the full back position? Who's going to, I don't think Scott Wright will play tomorrow on the right hand side. Dessers will play through the middle. Will he go with Seema? Will he take that chance for the 60 minutes? Or is he the impact player coming off the bench? So there's a lot of decisions for Clement. I think there's basically one for Brendan Rodgers. If McGregor's fit, do you play him in there with Hatate and O'Reilly? Because that's your strongest three. But Awata's been excellent, and he might just look at two guys that haven't played a lot of football, McGregor and Hatate, and think, you know, I need a strong midfield player in there and just choose one.
Thank you to Laurie. What about Eddie on the line from a Rangers perspective? Eddie, what would you like to see in the team?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Yeah. Talking about the team selections, I don't think Seema will play tomorrow. My team would be Tavernier, Golson, Suter, Yilmaz, Cantwell, Lindstrom, Diamandi, Lawrence, Dessers and Silva. And I just think that gives us a really strong bench to come on tomorrow, you know, with Matondo, Seema coming on. It's going to be a tight game. I'm not overly confident. A Rangers fan, you know, it's been so long with Celtic. But what I do think and agree with you, you know, even the game at Parkhead, the loss 2-1, you know, Clement's made a massive difference to us. And I just think, you know, with the home advantage, if we play how we can, and Celtic got a few, you know, they get McGregor. And then only I hope McGregor plays, you know, because coming into that, I played amateur football myself in Glasgow, and when you come into a game and you've not been playing so regularly, it's hard going. And I think we're our bench, and I think the first goal's critical tomorrow. But I think if Rangers play to their strengths, then hopefully they should win.
Yeah, I think debates over starting 11 will always be relevant, because they clearly, you know, that's the team that sets the tone and they'll play the majority of the game. But in the five sub era, you change half of your outfield by and large. The strength of the bench is more important, and for so long Celtic definitely had the greater strength on the bench. I wonder if the tide's either turned completely or is on its way. Or
we touched on it last week when we looked at Rangers' bench against Hibs. I still think both sides have got match winners on their bench that can come on and turn a game, because that's the quality of the squad you've got. I was listening there, he's talking about his team there. I think, me personally, I would find a place for Sterling tomorrow. I think he's been terrific for Rangers, I really do. I think he just gives them that drive. But he has got good options, and that's why I'm saying it. I would like to wait to tomorrow, because if you do put Sterling in there, is it Cantwell or Lawrence? And I know a lot of people would go for Lawrence, of course they would. I like Cantwell. His ball for Dessers last week against Hibs was absolutely outstanding. So I think Clement's got good options. And Celtic, with Carter Vickers back, Hatate back, McGregor question mark, they're nearly at their strongest. And Kuhn is starting to come onto a game. This could be a big, big day for him tomorrow as well. So I think we're in for a great day of football.
The passage of time, Mark, is obviously important. We always hark back to previous meetings and what happened, and that has a relevance too. But I wonder if anyone sums up that time difference like Todd Cantwell, because he was really criticised after some of the earlier meetings in the season about how he didn't get anywhere near Callum McGregor and so on. But he also seems to be in a much better place now than he was then. So is that relevant? Would Philippe Clement have worries over him in this fixture, or is he actually just in a much better place and you hope he takes that form into the game?
Well, Rangers fans will hope that, because he has been in good form in recent weeks and he's played a big part, everything that's going well at Rangers. But behind him is Lawrence as well, who's also a very good player and creative, and Daz is right, a lot of Rangers fans would probably rather see him in for this one. I think he got a wee bit a wee bit more dig with Lawrence in there. And, you know, if McGregor does play, he could cause McGregor some problems. So if both are fit, I think Clement may favour Lawrence and Cantwell may be an impact player. I don't believe he'll play one of them wide.
No?
Nah, I just can't see it.
What about in theory, like on paper wide, but actually a bit narrower, closer to the other one, and then James Tavernier...
Possibly, we've seen Cantwell play off that side in the past as well, under Clement as well, but didn't last very long in a couple of the games. Was one a game at Hampden as well, did he get taken off at half time in that position? I think Rangers have got better options. If Seymour's fit, you've got Silva, even Matondo there for pace and width, McCausland, so you've got wingers there. So I think it'll be either or in the number 10 though.
Cyril Dessers divides opinion. Eddie, do you have concerns over him leading the line, or is this the day where he properly announces himself?
No, I like him. To be fair, when he came in, I was not a liker of him, but I think he's good, and I've got my doubts on him one-on-one when he goes through with keepers. He seems to be one of these strikers and he's too much time. He's no great, but no, I would play Dessers tomorrow. I agree with when Gordon saying that about
who did you say?
Sterling, yes. I was like, oh, do I play Sterling or you know, do I take Cantwell out and take Lawrence, replace Cantwell or Lawrence with Sterling, because I love Sterling. He's such a good player. He's so strong. He's a physicality. But Lawrence and Cantwell, I think, for this guy. But then again, Big Phil's no scared to make changes, you know. But, you know, if McGregor, obviously McGregor makes things stick for Celtic in the middle of the park, and we need to keep him quiet. And if he does play, I think Diomande is the boy, just to stick him on him, man and man, I think, just to keep that quiet. And we'll see what happens. Celtic are a good team. It'll be difficult.
Yeah, we'll see what happens indeed. Thank you very much to Eddie. I'll have to take a breather because we're moving on this Saturday evening. I didn't realise how out of time we were getting. There's more reaction to today's games and more to come as we preview tomorrow as well.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL, your three wise men on a Saturday evening as we look back on a very busy day in Scottish football and, of course, preview tomorrow. A bumper weekend for us as Rangers take on Celtic. Let's continue Reflecting on today though, you wondered if Stuart Kettlewell referenced the pitch, Hugh, yeah, in that 3-2, very dramatic 3-2 win at Dundee. Motherwell were 2-0 down in it. Well, he did indeed have something to say.
No, listen, I spoke live on radio before the kick-off, and I stand by absolutely everything I said. I'm not wavering from that, not changing it. We were told that the pitch was safe, we were told the pitch should go ahead, so that's what we thrust ourselves into. My issues are bigger than that in terms of my thought process, and do you know what? I'm entitled to say what I think sometimes as well, so I've made my point from that side of things. We were told we were playing, we got the players into their mentality and the mindset that they were doing that, but I think that the overlasting frustration is when there's so much uncertainty, and even up to 1 o'clock, and the different permutations of what might happen if that game doesn't go ahead, I think it would be remiss of me not to say that that plays with footballers' mentalities. You know, they're creatures of habits, they like to be set for what's coming next.
For anyone who's unsure, the comments he was alluding to that he stands by were along the lines of Dundee should have put more money into their pitch, but instead they've been able to go and get better players and put more money into their playing budget whilst, what's the word I'm looking for, neglecting the pitch.
Yeah. His whole demeanour and his choice of words would have been different had Dundee won the match. But he's only human. He's won, and in the most dramatic fashion. And therefore, he's so proud of his players and what they've done that he's put the pitch and the whole topic of the pitch on the back burner. But it will not go away. Because in coming days, who knows what the weather's going to bring us, and Rangers are there on Wednesday, and this pitch is going to be the most talked about in the country until that game goes on, and what kind of state that pitch will be in on Wednesday night.
Yeah, that's the short term bit, and then the longer term, bigger picture bit is, okay, what do we do about this going forward? Do we require teams to maintain their pitch to a certain standard? How do we do that? Is that about a certain amount of money, and so on? It feels like this could be a sort of key moment in Scottish football where we have to try and make something change in that regard.
You've got to say that the Motherwell manager's quite right. I agree with his opinion. You look at Dundee, they could easily finish, if they'd have won the day, they'd have probably finished sixth in the top six. Financially, that's a good reward for them. And you've got to get your pitch, you've got to get your stadium up to scratch. Of course you do. Allowed them to go out and buy better players, probably pay better wages as well. So I think he's opened a can of worms, and I think it will need to be addressed, because I think he's got a great point.
The very, very basic requirement here is surely to have permanent ground staff who look after the pitch. And at the moment, Dundee do not have that, and that is simply not good enough for the top flight of Scottish football.
Dundee want to move stadium anyway, Mark. Yeah. So that, you know, that's another factor here.
So yeah, you wonder how much money they are prepared to put into a pitch. Motherwell, over £1 million into theirs. Are Dundee going to want to do that next year, knowing that they could move? I don't think so. But Hugh's right, minimum requirement should be permanent ground staff. But Fraser touched on it earlier, it's up to the clubs. The clubs make the rules. It's up to them to get together, make sure this sort of thing doesn't happen going forward.
Well, this was Tony Dock's take on it all.
I'm really sure, really hurting from that. You know, you're 17 minutes from, obviously you don't know results at the time, but we're 17 minutes. But listen, goals change games and they get momentum through. I've never seen it back. You guys will have seen it better than me. But again, it's a VAR decision that nobody's claimed for a penalty there. Nobody's claimed for it. And goals change games. You know, I thought 2-0, I thought we were really comfortable. You know, I did think Motherwell had some possession second half, but I think when we get the second goal, you know, I think we should see the game out. But certainly the momentum swings with the VAR decisions for the penalty. But again, I would trust my players to see that out. But listen, I'm not going to be critical of that group of players there, because they've been outstanding for me all season. And the one positive thing is when you get in from that a disappointing last 17 minutes, I would say, the game, you see the league table and you realise we've still got an opportunity to do what we need to do.
Still in the top six at the end of the day.
When you see the league table, he means Hibs losing at home, which he'd,
to St Johnson.
And none of us saw that one coming. So yeah, he's hanging in there. Wednesday night against Rangers, so much of that will hinge on what happens tomorrow at Ibrox, the weather between now and Wednesday. So a daily fascination with that particular piece of grass in Dundee.
Yeah, it's a big week for him. But again, he's done a remarkable job, Tony. And, you know, whether he's been afforded more money in his budget to get better players, that's not his fault. You know, it's up to the management of the club to then think about where they redistribute their income. But Tony has just dealt with what he's been given, and he's signed very well. And he's right, that the group of players that he's brought in, 20 plus or whatever it was, have been outstanding for him. And, you know, you wouldn't put it past him to finish top six. That'll be an incredible achievement for a team that came up.
I was hoping to hear from Stephen Robinson, because St Mirren have sealed top six, but no joy yet. We'll try and squeeze it in if we can. Peter is a Celtic fan in Irvine. What are your thoughts on tomorrow, Peter?
Hi, thanks for taking my call, mate.
Pleasure.
Cheers again. It's just you again. I'm not wanting to give you a hard time, Hugh, but I just remember at the start of the season, did you say Celtic would win the league?
I did, yes.
I thought that. It's just that the other weekend I called in and I said, we'll have Fittati and Vickers and such like back. I mean, we went to Ibrox with a reserve team and I was dreading it, but we won. And I just heard you 10 minutes ago and I was saying Rangers will win the league, Rangers will win tomorrow. I just wonder when you changed your mind and why.
Well, when you're asked for your prediction, there are 38 games that have to be played. So you go out on a limb with 38 games to be played. Now we've moved on over 30 games into the season, and my summary again, very quickly, in 2024, Rangers have won 30 out of a possible 33 points. They have momentum, they have incentive, they have the home advantage. Celtic, I think, are going to risk players tomorrow, and they do not have that kind of momentum that Rangers have. Celtic have had two seasons. They have had the Michael Beale part of it where they were cruising, and then Clamont come in and things have switched. Clamont has won more points than Brendan Rodgers in the period in which both have been at Celtic Park and Ibrox. So what I said at the start of the season, yeah, I thought Celtic would win the league, but that's with 38 games to play. It's the daftest game in the world. This, who do you think will win the league when there are 38 games to play? However, the season moves on, and where we are now, I think that Rangers will win the match tomorrow.
Give us the case then, Peter. Why do you think he's wrong?
Well, listen, Rangers might very well win tomorrow. They're certainly due a meaningful win, aren't they? So I wouldn't be surprised. However, even if they win, I'm still saying Celtic will win the league. And I'm not talking with my green glasses on. What I'm saying is, even if they win tomorrow, they'll suffer a derby hangover on Wednesday if it goes ahead. And they will only win against Dundee if they beat us tomorrow. I'll guarantee that.
Aye. You sound more like Hugh Keevans than Hugh Keevans does. How can you guarantee that if they win tomorrow, they won't win midweek?
No. They definitely won't.
It's definite guarantees.
Peter, you're all over the shop. You've come on to have a go because I tipped Celtic to win the league, and you can't understand why 32 games later I'm tipping somebody else. However, then you compound the felony by saying that you wouldn't be surprised if Rangers won. Well, if you weren't surprised if Rangers won, what are you doing calling me for?
If Celtic won tomorrow, Hugh, and Monday you got to tip Celtic to win the league,
I won't be here on Monday.
Well, that can be arranged. Don't you worry. Right, anyway, final thoughts. Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel, quickly sum up today's football for us.
Yeah, I thought it was an exciting slow burner. And congratulations, obviously. Kilmarnock and St Mirren have been excellent. Great result for St Johnstone. Motherwell, the result of the weekend so far, but it's all about tomorrow, Gordon. One more sleep. Looking forward to it.
Yep, agree with that. Good day of football, plenty of goals everywhere, but focus on 12 o'clock tomorrow. Ibrox, can't wait for it.
Yeah, it's the game of the season without question. And I go my way and others are going another way. Mind you, I'm quite good at my way.
On that note, we will be back tomorrow, 11:45. There are only a few times a season where I open the show with good morning and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and that is the reality. Tomorrow, we look forward to having you. It is guaranteed drama. We can't promise a good game, we can't promise goals, but it'll always be dramatic one way or the other. So make sure you join us at 11:45 and enjoy the rest of your night in the company of the GBX.